Romans. We're in Romans 12. This is the third session on Romans 12, which covers verses 9 through 13. And this one is entitled Genuine Love. Genuine Love. The rest of chapter 12 will list for us a large number of imperatives. In other words, the Lord is going to tell us what to do. Verses 9 through 13 are directives with respect to the church. Next week, we will tackle the directives given to us which guide our relationship with the rest of the world. You may remember a set of directives called the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. Those of you who are glad we are no longer under the law, I'm one of those, should realize that the remainder of chapter 12 contains about 29 things we should do to show love to all those around us. This would be a good place to read the passage. So Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. You want to excel in something? There it is. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. We cannot cover in detail all of these imperatives in the two remaining sessions, but we can review the three key principles under which they fall. These principles will be familiar to you, I'm sure. They are love, humility, and harmony. Love, humility, and harmony. Let's take a look at love this week. First, we should learn to spell love, as we did in session one. It's spelled G-I-V-E. It's spelled give. That's how we manifest love. Yes, Christian love is the willingness to give to someone else, even if they don't deserve it. This type of love is not primarily a romantic attraction like your relationship with your spouse, your children, your extended family. Here we are talking about a kind of love that is a willingness to give of yourself to others, even if we don't like them. This must be especially true even if their behavior is unlikable. Can you love someone you don't like? Yes, you can. You not only can love them, but you are told to love them. This kind of love is best demonstrated by service, self-sacrificing service, a service which requires time and effort. Of course, you know where I'm going with this. Jesus Christ left the glory of heaven to come to earth, to live a life of poverty and voluntarily allowed himself to be tortured to death for you, individually and personally. Can you love or will you love someone you don't like? Someone imperfect, someone selfish, someone disobedient? He can, and so can you. Why is this important? You can have no hope of eternal life without understanding this. Let's read a passage out of Matthew chapter 5. So turning to Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 43 to 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do you not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. As believers, we are sons and daughters of the Father. We are his agents in this world to obey and serve others as his ambassadors. We represent him to the world and must show the compassion and service he shows. One author said, the only Bible that some people will ever read is you. Your behavior either verifies or destroys his reputation of love. This is your privilege, your opportunity, your duty. Consider again Matthew 5, verse 48. In the original Greek, the word perfect can mean developmentally complete, but here it means morally complete. And the standard for all of this is perfection. We know, and he knows, that this standard is impossible to meet. Note, a perfect deity cannot set an imperfect standard of righteousness. The amazing thing about this unachievable goal is that he has already achieved it in your place. So, Father, how much gratitude we have, how grateful we are that we have hope of being perfect in your eyes, to some extent by obedience, but the ultimate perfection comes by the gift of righteousness that you give each believer as he comes to you by faith. And we are grateful for this and for the hope that we can face you in heaven with your righteousness and our sin forgiven. What a wonderful experience that will be. I thank you for it in Jesus' name.